Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann, and this is page two. All right, we were talking about the audits, and we're going to have a special feature on those coming up. I can't tell you when, but we definitely will. And I hope several other bloggers and political activists and think tanks will be weighing in quite a bit on this in the weeks to come. But let's talk about the agency restructuring. Well, finally, after Senate President Pro Temp Greg Treat and Governor Stitt worked out a deal, found out House didn't want to go along with the deal. They threw him a few bones, gave him some special influences on how the agencies are run, not how the hiring's made, but if there proves a strong feeling of need to remove the agency head, the House can vote, and by two-thirds vote of the House, and then again a two-thirds vote by the Senate, it can be removed, even if the governor does not agree. That was put in there to secure the support of the leadership in the House. Then the bill went forward. On, Wednesday, Senator John Eccles had probably one of the best examples of statesmanship on floor debate that I've seen. And I have to commend the Democrats and the House, probably had their best moment I've seen in years. Not by what they said, but by how they said it, how they conducted themselves. I've never seen so many people complimenting their adversaries in Oklahoma politics, certainly not the legislature. Not all one debate, but a series of three bills were put up, and they were strongly supported, probably most of the Republican caucus in the House signed on as co-authors to this, which means they probably had a good discussion in their Republican caucus meeting. I would expect they had a good give and take on this. So, HB 2479, 2480, and 2483, I believe, were the bills. Juvenile Affairs, Department of Corrections, Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. Those are three of the agencies that are set to undergo these changes. Let me tell you something about currently how the Department of Mental Health works. I know a good amount about this. It was restructured back in the last days of the Keating administration, 16, 18 years ago. They restructured it, and the thought then was, you know what, let's not have politicians deciding these things. Let's have experts in the issues that are involved. So they set it up so that most of the members of the board on Department of Mental Health Substance Abuse Services were going to be, by the Oklahoma Psychiatric Association. I'm not even sure I'm getting these names right. You know how it is with these associations. They're trade groups, okay? The Bar Association, again, a lawyer's trade group. Probably District Attorney's Council, I think, or somebody, or maybe it was the Attorney General himself gets to appoint someone. But you have this board made up not of politicians, not of anybody who's elected, but people who just got appointed as delegates by whomever, okay? And I'm sure the governor has appointments. I don't have the math in front of me, but let's talk about this. This board, then, that's created by all these trade groups and associations, policy wonks, and, you know, advocates for their particular profession, get together, in theory, they hire a commissioner of mental health and substance abuse services. They have the only power to fire. They have the only power to direct. They have the only power to make the hire in the first place. The governor, the legislature, are merely spectators. Here's the problem. How do you hold them accountable? How do you get anything done? Let me tell you about this board, the Mental Health Substance Abuse Services. One of them is from Lawton. That's important because that one is the only member of the board who is not from the Oklahoma City metro area. There's nobody from the eastern side of Oklahoma. So let's talk about something that happened a couple years ago. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to meet with the top leadership, the Department of Mental Health. And I had a few people come with me. And I had Commissioner Terry White's attention for a good 2.5 hours. And we went through grievance after grievance after grievance. I asked her, I said, the one hospital that you've got that's out in northeastern Oklahoma used to serve about 150 patients at a time. It was run by one of your corporate contractors, Grand Lake Mental Health. This was before you became the commissioner. You cut the reimbursement to this agency and they gave up and handed you the keys and said, you run it. So now you guys run it. Instead of having 150 beds, you cut it down to 52. I asked the administrator just a couple weeks previous, I said, how many beds do you think we really need? And she said, oh, we have all the beds we need. We don't need any more beds. I was stunned because I had just come from training detention officers at the jail. And they told us at the jail they have about 500 mentally ill men, besides women, men who are in treatment for serious mental illness there. So I asked Leah Price, the administrator, again, how many beds do you think we really need? And she said, it wouldn't matter how many beds we had. They'd all be full. They'd always be full. So it doesn't matter. So, no, her 52 was fine, she thought. Now, this was a facility that under Grand Lake Mental Health served just Tulsa County. As soon as the state took it over, they cut the beds, eventually over time, down to 1/3, and then said, now that has to serve the entire state. The net result is, if a cop really sees somebody in a psychotic condition, more often than not, they're not going to find a bed, certainly not there, probably not anywhere in the state. What do? You don't have a facility. You got somebody having a meltdown. They're out maybe in the middle of the street scaring the neighborhood kids. More often than not, the cop, and I'm not going to disparage their intentions, they know there's a jail, and they want to believe that jail can be the hospital they need it to be for this person. So they arrest them. Disorderly conduct, resisting an officer, whatever. And keep in mind, I'm getting this from the jail staff, okay? I won't name names, but they said more often than not, they're just here on the pretense of having violated law. In reality, they're there because they're psychotic. So, what's happening here is Tulsa, this according to Terry White, it's worse in Tulsa than anywhere else in the state. So I ask why that is. Terry White blames the big hospitals for not absorbing more of the load, being willing to take whatever the government's willing to fund them, Medicaid, Medicare, I don't know, whatever. But it's been 2 years since that conversation. It's not any better. It's getting worse. Now, when your entire board, who you answer to, is from Oklahoma City area, how do the people in the rest of the state get any sense that they get any representative voice? They can go talk to their legislator, but how do they talk to your board? Is your board willing to listen? Obviously, if their board is your boss, commissioner, we've got to have a way, and we haven't had any breakthrough. I'm saying all that to say this, folks. This may not be a perfect system, but we've got to shake something loose. So, on Thursday morning, while I was at the Capitol, I went to see my legislator, is a Democrat, Denise Brewer. She voted against this. I just said, Denise, here's the deal. And she wasn't aware of this. She wasn't aware of the statistics, how bad the mental health crisis is. I said, I need you to get with your Republican colleagues from the Tulsa area, and you guys need to band together, Democrats, Republicans, and whatever this system brings us, we have to make sure that all of the state is served equally, that all of the state is considered. I don't know that this formula is any better. All I know is if Governor Stitt doesn't handle it, his job's on the line. If the Speaker makes some stupid appointments, he's on the line. If the Senate pro temp makes some stupid appointments, he's on the line. Now, this will take some time, but hopefully we'll get some wear on this. So that's just one picture from the Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services. And this gives us an example. Now, I'll tell you, there are times I think Terry White does a great job, and on some things, she does a phenomenal job. But again, if her board is tone deaf to the needs of a particular area of the state, this kind of grumbling is going to happen. And I'm not going to shut up and I'm not going to back down on this. Because what's happening in Tulsa is our mayor is complaining about how much money it costs him to put an inmate or, you know, somebody who's arrested in the county jail. That's costing our city a lot of money. Our county jail we just had a bond issue, $15 million, because we had to build a mental health hospital in our jail because one third of the people in our jail had serious mental illness. The jail's not a mental hospital, folks, and never was intended to be and never should be. A person shouldn't be criminalized just because he has an illness. And in the hospital, he would actually get treatment that he needs. You can't have any confidence that he's going to actually be treated as a patient to any degree while he's in the jail. There won't be follow-up care. There won't be, you know, follow-up checkups. Fact is, when they leave the jail, oftentimes they get cut off cold turkey off their medicine. Now, we're working on that as well. But this is just a picture of the agency reforms. I'm using as an example the Department of Mental Health, Substance Abuse Services. I certainly could have used examples from Department of Corrections. I could have used examples from Juvenile Affairs. I'm sure the folks there are not all good, not all bad. But the system is dysfunctional. And that was recommendation number one from the AIPAC Commission. We'll be back after this in page 3.